Welcome back to the Our Time Podcast, the podcast for Watch Geeks by Watch Geeks. Je suis John Biggs.
Je suis Victor Marx.
I believe it's Je m'appelle Nicolas de Leon.
Is it Je m'appelle or is
it Je m'appelle? It's Je m'appelle is correct, yeah.
So did I mess up?
I don't know French grammar. You said I am John Biggs, but I don't know if that's the proper...
My name is versus I am.
I prefer the concept be basically saying like I am.
I am.
Like I am who am. Okay, we got Aragon watches. I want to yell at those guys.
Begin.
So picture this.
Okay, set the scene. Go ahead.
A young man comes into a small amount of money. He has about $500 to spend, and every once in a while, I think we all get that little urge just to purchase some Janko watch, right? We figure, okay, let's hop on eBay, see what we got. Right? Do we all agree to this?
Yes.
Yes.
So I see this thing called Aragon, which is like a dive watch. It's a huge dive watch. It's one of these like circa 2010 kind of gigantic thick monsters. There was another Benrus, I guess, or something like that. Another company that did the same kind of thing, the Poseidon or the Megalodon or some crap.
Megalodon. Yeah.
Yeah. What was it? Benrus? Anyway. So Benrus. I figure, hey, I like the Benrus. I like the Megalodon. I like a big watch. Big watch, big fan, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, so Benrus became Steve Rao because Benrus was too close to Benrus in name.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So that's what I was thinking. So we got that. So we're rocking and rolling. I get this thing in the mail and it's absolute garbage to a degree that's like, it's an embarrassment.
Yes.
And I paid $500 for it. They're selling it on the site for like $1,500 for auto chrono. And you move the crown and the hands just like wiggle around a lot. The chrono doesn't work that well. And maybe I got a bum watch, fine. But also it's just really, really ugly. So it's the worst of all possible things. And the fact is it's a small watch company. And I'm figuring, hey, they're an eBay brand. And I know not to go buy a bunch of eBay brands, but it's an automatic chrono, fascinating piece. Let's give it a go. I've sold it almost immediately, and I only wrote the post recently because I didn't want to reduce the price that I would be able to sell it for, because I'm that kind of guy. I'm that kind of jerk.
Terrible.
Can you imagine how horrible I am? But I didn't want to affect the price by writing about it negatively.
Yeah, write my article and then shave several amounts off of my price because I wrote that article.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even, and I'm sure the guy who bought it, he was a nice Polish fellow in Michigan, I believe. God bless him. I want him to enjoy it in good health. But yeah. I could not stomach it in any capacity. It was a real embarrassment. Am I wrong in my thinking? Am I wrong in my anger?
No. Well, look, There are some parts of it that should have just been right no matter what, right? Like when you open the crown to set the time, the whole movement and dial should not have wiggled inside the case.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it ugly here or there? I mean, that was the design. They wanted to make that ugly thing and they made it. Should they have done a better job of making it? Yes. Right? Like if it had a rotating bezel, the bezel should actually be precise and click and not just be floating all over the place or have a lot of back play.
But why even spend the money and the time to produce this?
To produce an ugly
thing? To produce a piece of garbage.
So my question is, did they set out to produce an ugly thing that was perfect in every way, or did they set out to produce a piece of garbage?
I think they've...
Like, were there concessions they made along the way that said, here's this thing, we had this great idea, and now it's going to be a piece of garbage because we had to settle?
I mean, say I'm a business person. Mm. Do I decide in my life to produce a piece of junk, and just sell it at an inflated price and sell it online sell it on eBay for less and just hope that somebody buys it?
So where a lot of these Aragon and I think they later renamed themselves to Android, these Android and Aragon watches ended up.
Yeah, exactly.
Were in the Watch Club of the Month, where they blew them out there. They said, you know what, we'll sell them to Watch Club of the Month. Watch Club of the Month can send them out to every single member. And it's an easy sale because they sold their whole, you know, you sell your whole stock of whatever that you're trying to unload to Watch Club of the Month and they buy them all and pass them on.
So who is being hurt here? Is anybody being hurt? Should I really care?
Well, so let me ask you other questions that are around this very topic, right? I get the sense that you're a person who likes when things are well conceived and well executed, right? You want an idea to be holistically sound. You want an idea to be resolved,
yeah,
right? You want to know that it's not just some horrible, ugly thing they were making, that they had a design idea behind it, right?
Yes.
And then you want the execution to live up to that idea. You want it to not, you know, like I said, open the crown and the whole movement wiggles, right? You want the thing to be well made. So how do you feel, first of all, because it's been floating around in my mind, about the so-called ghost date position on a watch that has no date on the dial?
Oh, yeah. Does that piss you off? That really pisses me off. Because the ghost date position, if you don't know, and we talked about this, I think, before when we were talking about the replicas, for example. You have a replica and it has a Japanese movement and a Miyota or something like that, or a seagull or some jazz.
Right.
And you click it to the second position. There's no date wheel, but it clicks to the second position and allows you to flip the date wheel that doesn't exist. That's such lazy engineering.
Hmm.
It's the equivalent of, like, I don't know.
So here's what I was thinking about that, right? Because you can order the Miyota movements in either the 9015 with a date or the 90S5 or the 9039 without a date. So you can buy that Miyota movement without a date setting fairly easily and use that in your watch. But if you want to use a Swiss movement, like an Etta or a Salida or one of those, they don't come with a no date. They come with a date. If you want to use one of the Swiss movements in a watch that has no date on the dial, you have to have all those movements reworked.
Mm-hmm.
They got to change the keyless works to one that doesn't have that position. And so it's actually more expensive to go with a Swiss movement for something like that. So if you're the businessman trying to make this affordable watch, you got to figure out, where are you cheaping out, right? Where how are you going to keep the price down? So you can't use a Swiss movement. You have to go with the Miyota to do that.
But can you buy a Miyota without a date thing?
You have to have them reworked.
So why not have them reworked?
Because it's expensive.
Yeah,
you got to have a whole bunch of Swiss watchmakers redoing them all.
But it's, oh god,
it's a giant pain in the ass.
All right, so what's the answer?
I don't know that there's a good one. The only answer that I can see that makes any sense is you got to jack your prices up to support that. And then that's something that I've been seeing, right? So Helios makes a watch, right? Helios Seaforth. And they sell for, what, $1,500, $1,000, something like this?
Yeah.
And people flip them for more than they cost. And that guy also hates the ghost date position. That guy is using the correct Miyota movement, so he doesn't have that. There's another guy in Helsinki, Stefan Strapaneva or something like that, Suf Helsinki.
Mm-hmm.
And he made 50 watches, and he sold them for $3,000 each. And he sold out like that. And so that's my question, is the correct answer here to raise prices so that you can support that kind of quality decision, quality execution?
Maybe. Well, so, okay. So if you're going to raise prices for a three-hander, then you're asking from me, you're asking a lot, because selling a three-hander for $3,000 is an embarrassment.
It's a field watch.
Yeah.
It's a field watch three-hander for $3,000. So Prade 10 movement.
So this is what's interesting. I'm watching these, like, I'm in this WhatsApp group with a bunch of watch guys. There's always, like, in these WhatsApp groups, there's always one dude who's got like $5 billion and he's always buying like crazy, yeah, crazy expensive watches. And there's everybody else who's like buying maybe micro brands and like, and they have a couple nice pieces, but most of the time it's like, they're not,
it's the,
not,
it's the $500. Like, what did I buy this week?
Yeah. It's not a hyperturbion or whatever, a gyroturbion, yeah, that they're buying on a weekly basis. But these guys love that stuff. These guys love picking up like the micro brands for like the Yema. Yema's a big thing with them right now. This French quote-unquote brand. Yeah, but Yema's
at least established, right? They've been around forever. They're an old brand.
But they're like Ming. Ming's a big thing. Have you seen Ming?
Don't remember Ming.
Not familiar with Ming.
Ming's got like this minimalist like watch hand. It's got like this weird like
Ming.watch. Yeah. It's Ming.watch for the, well, I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, it's so there's, I'm looking at one right now, 1703, which has a GMT hand. It has the aesthetic of a icopod. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it very much does have that icopod aesthetic.
Yeah, so it's
mostly
really like,
from the dial, I would say. The case is a little less so. I mean, the case has some of the curves to it, but...
But they love this stuff, and again, sure. I don't want to make anybody feel like they shouldn't love a piece that they love the piece. I mean, God bless you. If you like watches, we have to support as many watch lovers as possible.
Sure.
But it's the but to really be so fascinated by this kind of stuff just seems so ridiculous, and especially when the manufacturer themselves doesn't care enough to reduce the ghost date. Position, for example, it really drives me nuts.
Huh.
I mean, to be honest, I kind of like this Ming. It has a nice style. It's got its own shtick,
it's very much its own aesthetic. You got to appreciate that they made their own design, their own sort of language for what the case should look like, what the hands should look like. And that's identifiably them. You're not going to confuse that with anything else.
Yeah.
Did a good job.
I'm looking at it. I'm now down the freaking rabbit hole of eBay watches, and that's just
That sounds depressing.
I don't know what to do. Okay, tell me some good news, because I'm gonna.
Good news.
Yeah.
Good news. So, Amont is this French company, and they have a watch on Kickstarter, and I have it on my wrist, and. I loved their first watch. Their first watch was really awesome. It had like a tricolor indescent 12. It was very cool.
Uh-oh.
So their new one has this sort of like waffle pattern on the dial with the word automatic in red.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty classy. It's nothing too amazing. I mean, it's a
definitely three-handed. Nothing too special. I'm not gonna lie here.
No. But you know, a nice combination of brushed and polished surfaces, and good on them for making it.
I like this picture of the dude on the website. He's got the he's adding a date,
putting a balance wheel or something on there.
Yeah, but he's adding a date and he's adding a month and day wheel to the watch that only has a date window. I don't know. Why do I have to, should I just take drugs and just relax?
No,
never. That's never the answer.
No, that's never the answer.
Don't let these, MTV.
I'm not going to tell you about the other watch I'm wearing then in that case. So there.
Okay. What are you going to tell? So what are you wearing? What else are you wearing?
Well, I got this, watch that I drew the dial on in, and, you're going to hate it for a bunch of reasons, because not the least of which it looks like a Tudor, and it's got an ETA movement in it. It's got a ghost date, but it is a dial that I drew, and it's 11.5 millimeters thin. And by God, I'm happy with the shape of it.
How'd you draw the dial? What'd you draw it in?
I used Affinity Designer on my iPad and I drew with drew the logo for it underneath the 12 indus. Used some of my own fonts and made an SVG file and sent it off to them, and they came back with a watch.
Look at you. You're a madman.
I'm a watch designer, and it's got the logo on the crown. It's got the logo on the case back, and it's also signed on the clasp. So it's the whole thing.
So I'm looking at this that's cool. That's good. I'm glad that's good news that you're now a watch designer. I want to make the Cholex. Is that offensive to the world if we call it Cholex?
Probably.
It's a little risky. I mean, you gotta make it a strong parody, I think. But otherwise, sure, why not?
What can we call it?
Can I bring up Tudor for a moment? You just mentioned Tudor.
Yeah.
Do you remember a few months ago they announced that silver one?
Yep,
was the 925. Yes. There is a pretty interesting YouTube video. I'll share it with you guys. Apparently this thing is like starting to tarnish after like a month.
Yeah, of course. It's the same in the bronze. The bronze makes you, I don't know why people buy this crap. This is John going nuts.
The bronze is at least supposed to tarnish. The silver is not, is it?
It is.
I don't know. Well, silver tarnished, of course. But I think, and I don't know that Tudor said that this will not tarnish. They didn't like
it's going to tarnish. Well, it's a
tried
metal
to indicate they were using some special alloy or something like that.
But to me, it's like a month. And again, this is just a YouTube video I saw. Thanks to the algorithm, was floated to me, I think yesterday. Hmm. But yeah, interesting.
I'm taking crazy pills.
Yeah, it is supposed to tarnish. You're absolutely
it's supposed
right.
to tarnish, and it's but it's going to tarnish, and it's also going to get your wrist all nasty.
Yes.
Is that quick though? A month?
Yes.
No, about right. It's about normal.
I had a bronze Auris. Awful.
I was looking at literally a bronze Auris like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah. You really have to want that patina if you're going to go for one
disgusting.
Of those watches.
The patina is disgusting.
And sure, right. It's corrosion.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's really. Too bad because I like that silver, the color of the Tudor.
But they also introduced a carbon case Tudor.
Did they?
They did. If you go to Tudor right now, they introduced a carbon case version of the thing.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah. That was last week, to be seen.
Yeah.
I forget. That was recent. Yeah, interesting. I don't know. I just wanted some breaking news. This Tudor that was just announced, it tarnishes, even though I feel like the initial marketing language was like, it's not resistant, but
they really tried to ham it up with their alloy.
Yeah.
What's interesting about that is, right, you know, Rolex fans especially go nuts if the watch has been polished. Oh my God, it's polished. It's ruined, right? It's devalued if it's been polished. But that sterling, that silver one is going to be polished because you're always wiping at it, right? So eventually it's going to all soften up on its edges because you're constantly trying to keep it clean.
Interesting.
But it's so gross. There's no reason to use those machines. There's no reason to use that stuff.
There's one reason to use that stuff.
What's the reason?
And the one reason is to take more money off the customer.
Yeah, exactly. Take more money off the customer. Bang, bang, bang. End of story.
It's not a great reason, but that is the reason.
It's a mess. It's a complete mess. I'm so angry.
Man.
Don't get me started, boys.
I fear we already
did. I'm coming for everything. What else we got? Yeah. Give me something else good, because I'm gonna punch out a goat.
I had the one good thing and I gave it to you, and I'm sorry I got nothing else. Yeah, that was the high. It arrived yesterday. I just got it out of the box, put this thing on, and
I'm gonna
super
allow
happy.
The Imant. Yeah, I'm gonna allow it. It's a good piece. It's a good piece. It's a cute piece. It looks like it's well done. It's a little goofy. I'm really tired of this whole like we're using custom fishing lures to catch the eel leather that we're going to put on our bracelets or whatever. I think that's a little overkill.
I mean,
in many cases.
Look at this thing. It is plainly it's just a three-hand watch.
Yeah.
It's a nice size case. They didn't go overboard on the case. It's a good size. It's thin enough. It's comfortable. The bracelet's competent. It is an okay watch.
It's an okay watch.
I agree. It is not the space station, right? They did not set the world on fire making this thing, but they did a good job.
All right.
I think we should move on to that. Who is in? I think we're discussing
who's
earlier.
In and who's out?
Who's in and who is out?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And that's a fun way to end this week. And I just brought up Tudor, even though we're kind of criticizing them a sec for their tarnishing silver watch. I feel like they are very much in. I feel like that brand is on fire, as the kids say. Mm. So that's my in contribution.
Okay. I have a question. I put to you Auris. Is Auris in or out? And I ask because today they put on Instagram that they put, quote unquote, the bear is back, and they put a teddy bear on the case back of their Auris watch. Ugh. And I'm like, why? I wrote them. I wrote Auris and I said, what is the history of the teddy bear? Why is this a mascot for Auris?
And what'd they say?
They have yet to answer. They instead passed me on to someone. I wrote to the president of Auris, and I wrote to the contact that I had there, and they went ahead and in turn both passed me on to someone else because they chose not to answer directly.
So
I still don't know why there's a bear on the back of the Auris.
That's so strange. So they can't actually answer?
They did. I mean, I found an interview with the president from a few years ago where he was talking about how the bear is lighthearted, but you don't want to use it every time because they're a watch company, not a bear company.
That's
it. And I'm like, that's not enough of an answer for me. I need to know more about the history of this thing.
Yeah, where the hell did this bear come from?
And I found that there were giant, like they made fiberglass bear. You ever been to a Bob's Big Boy, like the burger joint? And they had the fiberglass Bob outside the
store.
Yeah,
you got the fiberglass Bob, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So they had a fiberglass bear outside of Auris boutiques. And I, for the life of me, do not know why. It's driving me nuts. And now they've got a teddy bear on the back of the watch. And I'm like, what? Why would you do this? What is the history of this thing? Why is this?
Hmm.
And so I asked them for historical examples of when they first used the bear, because I want to see.
You're going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
You're on the list now.
You know what? You're messing with powers that are beyond our ken. You're starting to explore things that shouldn't be explored. You should just leave things well enough alone. You should
back away slowly instead of trying to swipe the idol from the Indiana Jones tent.
Indy, throw me the whip. No throwing of the whip. Don't even touch the whip, just Indy. Run. Just go home.
The bear has his own Instagram account. Or is bear. And there's a million photos.
But is the question whether this thing is in or out? Are we asking that question?
Let's ask that question. Is Oris and the Oris bear in or out?
The Oris bear is completely out. Out.
That's not what I'm saying. He's out like movie premieres and
he is completely
riding
out.
Private jets.
I refuse to allow this to happen any further. Flying private jets.
From the bear, is Oris in or out?
Oris is fine. Oris is perfect. They're an acceptable company that does good work. I got an Oris date thing, and I got it in bronze, and I didn't like it because it's nasty. But otherwise, it's a good piece. I like a little Oris in my tea in the morning.
Hmm.
I would echo that. I think Oris is it's definitely a watch. You need to be like a watch nerd to even know they exist. Yeah. I feel.
Yeah.
But I think they're that like first, like, you know, like $2,000. I want a nice watch. I feel like that's my where I am. Like literally today, it's like, all right, I got $2,000 to burn. I'm looking at brands like Oris to scratch that itch, basically. So.
Yeah, I think I'm a little bit bored with Oris, their style.
Yeah.
But again, I mean, look, what am I? Who am I to argue? They have good pieces. They're like glycine almost to that degree. The glycine goes nuts, and then sometimes they don't go nuts, and that's kind of boring. Anyway, so yes, they're in. Okay.
Who's out? Let's get someone out here. Who's out?
You know what? Who's out? I think it's the Black Panther watch. I think that's still
Wakanda.
That still galls me. Yeah.
That's the Audemars Piguet. Is out.
The Piguet watch. Not a fan.
Yeah, I didn't see a lot of good feedback to that on the internet.
But I would say AP's been asking for it for AP's been asking for this kind of thing for years because they've always tried to do weird stuff. And then they do the weird stuff and then it looks awful. And they go back to the things that they're good at, and that's about it.
All right. So along the same lines, is Patek out? Because they canceled all their stainless steel watches, right? They said they weren't going to do any more Nautilus.
Yeah, whatever. They're gonna bring that stuff back. They're lying. I never liked Patek to a degree anyway. So it's kind of like
wow.
Well, no, look. I mean, like, so what? A Nautilus? What are you going to buy? You're going to buy? I mean, look,
I'm not exactly in a position to buy any. I'm judging on JPEGs here.
Started up just like you have your WhatsApp watch group. I started up a watch group in Signal recently, and it's just. Four guys, small watch group.
Yeah.
And two of the guys are heavy hitters and me and the other guy are not heavy hitters. And so the two heavy hitters, one of them is new to watches and the other has been into watches for years. So the new guy was like, I'm going to buy an Aquanaut.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm going to buy an Aquanaut. I want an Aquanaut. I'm going to buy one. And he went searching around and he could not get an Aquanaut. He was talking about laying down 50K for one. He was going to lay down, you know, 60K for one. And everywhere he asked, he just could not get one. And he's like, this is pissing me off. This is annoying. So he bought something else. And what the hell did he buy? He was looking at old subs. He didn't buy an old sub. He bought something else. But he dropped an easy 20 grand on the thing that he bought.
I mean, I'm looking at this Nautilus. There's a Nautilus on stainless steel, 2010. Mm-hmm. Piece from Patek.
Yeah. Right.
How much does it cost?
60?
No, give me.
I was going to say 40.
No, give me a higher number.
All right, it's 120.
109,000. 109,000.
Okay, so I'm over a little bit. Clearly, I can't play the Price is Right anymore.
No, but I don't want anybody to have to. That's completely nuts. Another Nautilus is 104,000.
Okay, so the stainless steel, they're stainless steel. Just so I'm clear, is not magical, right? There is no difference between their stainless steel and, to be clear, the stainless steel that's in the watch that I bought with my own dial in it.
Yeah.
Right? It's metal. So the only thing, and the dial is not magical, right? The dial that I got that's a brass plate coated with paint and loom and whatever that I put on there is the same as their brass plate. It's not magical. The magic is in their movement and their brand.
It's the brand. Yeah, that's 100%. Like I'm looking, they have a Nautilus, they have a perpetual calendar Nautilus.
Yes.
For 77K.
So perpetual calendar. 77K for the perpetual calendar. Yeah. So is that the one with the hand in the corner kind of thing? The upper left
corner?
No, it's
got a moon phase. It's 6 o'clock.
Yeah. Okay.
But like, I mean, come on. It's just like, it's, watch. Well, I think we gotta close this up before I
you're gonna blow up.
We got a few minutes. We're winding down.
I'm just so upset. I'm just it's so upsetting to me. It's like why does this stuff have to happen to good people? I mean, watch lovers. There shouldn't be a case. There shouldn't be a case where I have to make a decision between purchasing a home or a home in Canal Winchester, Ohio, or a three-handed watch.
I agree.
It's impossible. It's completely ridiculous.
It's the world we live in.
All right. So because I want to understand, what is it that what's the confluence of all these things coming together that makes you happy?
What makes me happy about watches, or what makes me unhappy?
I'll take both. I'll take you both, but I would like happy.
What makes me happy about watches?
What's going to be the right combination of these things?
I don't know. I honestly don't, because I understand, like, I'm wearing a Breguet right now, and that's not a cheap watch by any stretch of imagination. I didn't pay that much for it that I would normally, but it's a fancy watch. So it's like the guy sitting in the Ritz Hotel and complaining about the crepes or whatever the hell they're serving and caviar.
Sure.
Like, oh my God, I'm paying $50 for this crepe and caviar, but I'm still scarfing it down like a damn wolf. So I have nothing to say here, but in terms of collectability, it's irrational to a level of AMC style, meme stocks.
These things are without reason. They've lost all sense of proportion and understandability.
Yes. And the benefit of a Patek Philippe is not that it's $100,000. The benefit of Patek Philippe is that you have a certain amount of cachet, you have a certain amount of benefit, you have a certain amount of engineering prowess, et cetera, that is vitally important to the watchmaking industry. It's vitally important. It has to exist. It has to exist, because if it didn't, it's all going to go downhill. But the fact is, just because they pulled the plug on the Nautilus, for example, or the steel, are their steel pieces, now these things are going nuts and going completely insane in terms of pricing, and it's such a cynical cash grab on their part that I don't know.
So we just want well executed pieces that show off the expertise that they've got, show off their design chops, that make us happy.
Yes,
without losing that proportion on price.
Yes, that's all I want.
Presenting my Willard homage.
You can't do this.
All the things you just described for $200, something to that.
Oh, boy.
This is my last episode, folks, before they kidnap me and ban my opinions.
And take you to the Seiko gulag.
Yeah, that's fine.
You know what made me feel good this week? I went into the Brooklyn Watch Shop down the way. Is that what it's called? Brooklyn Watch Shop. Yeah, it's down there. They sell a bunch of three-handers in their windows or whatever. But they have two folks repairing watches. And I went in with my stupid Rolex with the stupid pin that wasn't moving.
Yeah.
And I showed it to them and I said, "Hey, I'm a moron. I've been trying to open this thing for weeks. It's been driving me crazy. Can you do it?" They took it back there and in like 15 seconds they had the spring bar moved and open, and they resized it for me. And I asked them, "How much do I owe them?" And they said, "No, nothing." That's what made me feel good. And the fact is, it didn't make me feel good because they did it for free. It made me feel good that there are two active watchmakers in Brooklyn right now building and helping watch lovers get.
Is that by the Army Terminal?
No, that's on Vanderbilt.
No. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's like it makes me feel good. I don't know. Just a big it was a good feeling just to see this, just to see these watches, like somebody actually taking care of these things. And thus endeth the lesson.
All right.
This has been the Hour Time Podcast. I'm John Biggs.
Je m'appelle Victor.
Je m'appelle Nicholas.
How do you say, like, we'll see you next time?
I don't know, actually.
Au revoir.
Au revoir. Au revoir. Au revoir. From the your friends at Our Time Podcast. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Our Time Show, the official podcast of wristwatchreview.com. Feel free to email us at tips@wristwatchreview.com with your feedback and suggestions. And please be sure to visit wristwatchreview.com and wristwatchreview on Instagram for more fun watch content. Have a nice day.